I entitled the message, Fertile Ground, question mark. And this is supposed to be a message of encouragement. Because sometimes we are confronted with problems, and daily routine can become extremely exhausting, especially when you get bad news from all over the place. It may not even be you directly, but people you know of. And then we look at the church and we are wondering what is actually going on. Do we actually reach someone? Are we successful? Or are we spinning our wheels? And so I thought today I'd just give you a few excerpts from memos which we have received. And they're all from February of this month. Most of them just a couple days or maybe a week or so ago, just to give you a clue, an idea, a concept as to what is actually going on. We have in the past sometimes published comments which we have received in our updates, but we have stopped doing that because the updates are already pretty long and they would be much longer if we did it, but we don't want to give you the misimpression that therefore we are not hearing anything. First, I like to just give you three examples from memos we received from the English-speaking world. Here's one saying, and this has to do with our Standing Watch program on Apple and the FBI. I think that every judge in this country should be made to watch your video regarding the dispute between Apple and the FBI. Now, I hasten to tell you that everything we have received, it was not from a church member. I mean, we have other memos from church members, but I don't want to go into those. I want to talk about those who are not church members. And I, of course, agree with this individual who said that because it is an extremely dangerous situation. But that's a sermonette or a sermon all by itself. Here's one from Canada. Your booklets are simply the best. I have studied them all, and I look forward to more, which means we have to write some more, I guess, for this person to receive some more. Here's a response to our member letter, which we just sent out February 16. This individual says, this was a well-written letter, keep up the good work. But I want to mainly focus on letters and memos we received from Germany. Now, we don't always receive good ones. Here's a bad one. And I've translated all of those into English. Here's one who wrote us, and we sent him our latest Rundschreiben, our latest German member letter. I don't want this member letter from this sect, he wrote my wife. And something like, tell this screamer, Norbert Link, hello, and take me off your list. And I wrote him back, and I said, oh, we will most certainly oblige to take people like you off our list. But this was a bad one. But I'd like to give you a few good ones, and I'm only giving you excerpts because there's a lot more in those memos, people asking questions which need to be answered, people, of course, asking for literature. Actually, not a day goes by, I can honestly say that, or maybe not 2 days go by, where we don't get requests for literature. I hope we have enough, so I have to check with the Germans once I'm over there. But here's the first one I'd like to read to you. I would like to thank you from the heart. For 30 years, I have been craving for the true teaching of the Bible, and now finally my hunger is being satisfied. Many questions which I had have been answered. New ones have arisen. Thank you for the booklets. They are so salvational for me. Thank you once again for your help on my way to God. Here's another one. I have just listened to your sermon from October 2015 about the migrant crisis in Europe and the role of Germany in the future. Now, several months have passed, and one has to really state that the problem has become bigger. Thank you for your interesting sermons. Now, here's another one. That's from someone who had complained to us that we were teaching salvation through works. And I told him that we do not, and that he should listen to my two recent sermons about law and grace. And then he wrote now, Dear brother, I guess that's me, there is nothing to add or to delete from your sermon. One cannot preach about this topic more clearly. I'm asking you, and of course God, for forgiveness if I have hurt you with my critical remarks. Much more power and God's blessing to you, your family, and your mission. And I told him, okay, don't worry about it. All is okay. Here's another one. You are a light in the darkness. Thank you for your brilliant work. God, Yahweh, protect you and bless you for the dissemination of the truth in Jesus Christ. Now, when somebody writes me about Yahweh or uses another Hebrew name for Jesus, I am quick to respond and set the record straight, because many times these are Messianic Jews or those who believe in the holy sacred name idea. So this is something which needs to be clarified. Here's another one. I want to thank you very much and our God and Lord for you, God's rich blessing and his lead. Another one. First of all, I would like to thank you for your enlightenment which you give. I have subscribed for years to your channel on YouTube. Another one. I'd like to give you my best thanks and great applause for the many interesting and educational sermons on your YouTube channel. Please continue in this way and reach the people in these increasingly difficult times. The word has reached me, as well as many others, years ago and brought me back to the faith. Now, of course, we have been operating in Germany on YouTube and other channels for, what, now 8 or 9 years. Here's one. With great and growing interest, I have been following for some time now your sermons on YouTube, and I'm reading your booklets. Many thanks for your time and your tireless engagement. Tireless engagement is a good one, because that really is what it is. It's tireless, and sometimes it's tiresome. Here's one. I have listened to your sermon, that's the one, How Far Do You Want to Go, with great interest, and I have given, or have been given, to understand that one cannot make compromises in any way. I want to serve Yahweh with all my heart. Now, of course, the Yahweh part needs to be explained. And then here's one, simply brilliant, your celebrations. I think he's talking about the sermons, calling them celebrations. And then the last one, and I hope I'm not boring you here. First of all, I thank you, or I think it is superb. Now, he says super in German, which is a word which pretty much means superb. What you are doing, be blessed and many thanks. I am not a great writer. So these were just some excerpts, examples from memos we got within the last 2 weeks, most of them last week. And of course, I could have gone back to previous months, but I just wanted to give you the more up-to-date messages. And of course, as I said, in those memos we got, biblical questions are being asked, which I didn't read to you. And of course, the answer or the question is also asked, could we please meet with you for services? Some want to find out when we are there, my son and I, to meet with us. So there's lots of work to do. But the question I have, and by the way, I have all the German memos here. So in case you want to check up on me, whether this is actually so and whether I translated correctly, you know, those of you who speak German, please come to me afterwards and you can read the German. But the question I want to ask, we have heard these comments, and I've been hearing comments like these for many, many months and years. Will all of them grow in their commitment? Will all of them become baptized? Will all of them qualify for the kingdom? And when I talk about baptism, we have several now who want to be baptized when we are going over there for the spring holidays. Those whom I have been dealing with and talked to probably will be baptized. Others who are brand new will have some discussions first, obviously. But how fertile is the ground? And how much is it cultivated? You see, people may be very enthusiastic, but then they may reach a point when they are becoming unwilling to go any further, and then they shrink back. And that is nothing new. It is something which the Bible says would happen. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 13, the very famous parable of the sower. Now, since I know that the sermon speaker will cover a subject which in all likelihood will go into this passage as well, I decided to read it to you today from a different translation. It's more like an interpretation. I'm going to read to you chapter 13, verses 19 to 22 from the Living Bible. And listen closely how they render this passage. It says, now here is the explanation of the story I told about the farmer planting grain. The hard path where some of the seeds fell represents the heart of a person who hears the good news about the kingdom and doesn't understand it. And then Satan comes and snatches away the seeds from his heart. The shallow, rocky soil represents the heart of a man who hears the message and receives it with real joy, but he doesn't have much depth in his life. And the seeds don't root very deeply. And after a while, when trouble comes or persecution begins because of his beliefs, his enthusiasm fades and he drops out. The ground covered with thistles represents a man who hears the message, but the cares of his life and his longing for money choke out God's word, and he does less and less for God. So it chokes out. He is a choker. Well, some don't get it. For some, it takes a little bit longer, and some may not think it's funny. Anyhow, it chokes out God's word. And so he leaves. Now the next verse, verse 23, I don't want to read from the Living Bible because they screw this up totally. I go back to the New King James, and this says this in verse 23. But he who received seed on the good ground, or as I say, rich soil, is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now the interesting thing is, you have three categories of people, they don't produce fruit. And then you have three categories of people who do produce fruit, but not to the same extent. Some do it 100-fold, some do it only 60 times, and some do it 30 times. Now, they all could have produced 100-fold. But nevertheless, they do produce some fruit. But the fact that some don't, some are enthusiastic for a while, and then when trouble comes, when persecution comes, they walk away, mustn't discourage us. Now, let me just say something about Germany, because people have the wrong impression, that until the beast power arises in Germany, everything is going to be fine, everything is going to be honky-dory. And they have the wrong impression that since we are not a country where there is going to be any beast power arising, so we are not going to have to worry about any religious persecution. And the people are wrong on both counts. I just this morning received a memo from a prospective member who will have a meeting with social services. They are trying to take the daughter away from her because she has told, apparently, the school that she doesn't want the daughter to keep Easter festivities anymore. We had a very unpleasant situation with social services over there and child services, child protection services, the way they call it, in Germany some time back, where they have completely and totally violated the law. Now, when it comes to the persecution of religious minorities, they're very quickly doing that. When it comes to Muslims, oh, they look the other way. They don't want to touch those. The United States of America, it's not that much different. See, when we are talking about this case with the FBI and Apple, we shouldn't have any illusions that if the FBI prevails, that governmental agencies will come in and they will take that device, and there is no doubt about it, and religious liberties and freedoms will be going down under. No question about it. See, the government has been trying again and again and again to go after religious and free and personal liberties and freedoms of American citizens for a long, long time. So persecution will come. Persecution is already here. How are we going to react? How are people going to react? Are they going to say, well, we have to, of course, make compromises. We cannot stand firm. Just leave that crazy religion, as so many have done in the past, as I probably have told you, the fact that the Worldwide Church of God became what it is today was because the leader, after Mr. Armstrong's death, has said very clearly, I don't want to be looked upon as a cult or a sect. I don't like it when they call us a sect. That's why we have to adopt the traditional teachings of Orthodox Christianity. And boy, have they done it. I don't know whether you saw the pictures on Facebook where they're now tearing apart the Hall of Administration. Horrible. Horrible. Now, those who are behind this will have to do a lot of atoning. And I mean a lot. When that time comes. But you see, all of this mustn't discourage us. We are to continue to do what we're doing, to preach powerfully the only message there is. There's only one gospel. And some will listen, some will repent, some will believe, some will get baptized, some will receive the Holy Spirit. Others may give up on the way. But hopefully, hopefully, only temporarily. And hopefully they will remember later when the time of visitation comes. I'd like to turn to the book of Jonah. You know, Jonah didn't want to do what God told him to do. Jonah ran away. God saw to it that Jonah, through trials, would wake up. And when he was thrown overboard, notice what he said in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. In Jonah's case, it had to come to the point where he almost died, where he almost drowned in the ocean. And then he prayed to God. And God gave him a way of rescue, but it wasn't the most pleasant way, obviously, having to be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster. But nevertheless, he remembered. Then he remembered. Before, he didn't. I'd like to turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and verse 33. Now, if you want to remember a scripture very easily, 33:33. All right, if you go home afterwards this evening, think of 33:33. Right? Can't forget that. Just have to remember it's the book of Ezekiel. Notice what it says. Because Ezekiel gave a warning. People scoffed at it. He says, and when this comes to pass, surely it will come. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them. And all these things which are being proclaimed today, all the warning messages come to pass, and some already waking up, specifically over there in Germany, then they will know that what was being said was in fact God's word. Now, we are not saying that we are prophets. We are most certainly not. I know some claim that they are prophets, and that's ludicrous. It's ridiculous, because they are false prophets, as the Bible warns. But we are preaching God's prophetic word. You see, and when the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, we have the spirit of prophecy, as you read in Revelation 19 and verse 10. And so we are preaching God's word, which includes a warning message. Some may heed. We should pray that God's prophetic word will fall on fertile ground.